You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have 2 medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, you've only got 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. 2 medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You gonna tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious?
Are you serious? The words of Ty Smith, a black conservative radio host addressing a parent school board meeting. This is June 21st, 2021. That appearance by Ty Smith was at the Bloomington, Illinois school board meeting back on June 7th. That video now catching fire has been spread around. I saw it late last week, just didn't have time for it. We are going to focus on that in more detail today because critical race theory also is a favorite pet for the leftists and the progressives and the state-controlled media because they do see it as another way to advance their agenda, which is racial division, non-unity, non-inclusiveness, racial division, making one side, especially whites, feel guilty for anything and everything. That is what Ty Smith is talking about, and you're going to hear more from him over the next 2 hours. But again, I also want to point out to you that CRT in many school districts, they might be considering it, but they haven't put it in place yet. And some states have already passed laws that it will not be part of their state school curriculum. They're going to deny it. In Bloomington, Illinois, apparently it wasn't even on the agenda that night, but enough parents are concerned about it and voicing fears that it might be coming around the corner. Because after all, Bloomington, Illinois. It is Illinois, a blue state, and who knows what's going to drop on their head the next day. So parents are concerned about the future of their kids, as they all should be. We'll get into that in more detail. But one other point before I leave it right now. Progressives and the state-controlled media want you to believe that any opposition to CRT, critical race theory, is not a grassroots organization. It's not coming from parents just welling up with anger and fear. No. It's a paid event. It's a paid organization. But not one of those same Democrats or even state-controlled media has come forward with any evidence that anybody's being paid to participate and encourage to fight against CRT. Would that make a difference? Not necessarily to some. By the way, China is now thinking that its scientist at the Wuhan Institute of Virology should be getting maybe a Nobel Prize. Yeah. They think that they should maybe getting a Nobel Prize or some kind of prize, maybe some kind of science prize because they've done such a great job of investigating these kinds of viruses. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. And there's also, by the way, a concern about Dr. Fauci and how much more politicized he's going to get and how far he's going to go to prove that he's been right all along. Despite flip-flopping, despite turning faster than a helicopter blade, he's been right. And then we have the crime that's beginning to run rampant in some states. And that is why many citizens are leaving some of those states and those cities. The Democrats, that rule, they'll say it's not because of crime. And if we have a problem with crime, it's because of the Republicans and conservatives. Well, you do know in California that you can carry out shoplifting. You can go into any store you want, grab what you want. As long as you keep it under $1,000 and walk out, they will not charge you. Now, you tell me where the crime is being helped and supported. Not by law enforcement, but prosecutors who are political and giving a magic pass to anyone they like versus anyone they don't. Not based on law. A lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What Joe Biden did in Europe this week was rally the Democratic world to speak with a common voice on this issue. For the first time since COVID broke out, President Trump wasn't able to do it. President Biden was. And it is that diplomatic spadework, rallying the nations of the world, imposing political and diplomatic pressure on China, that is a core part of the effort we are undertaking to ultimately face China with a stark choice. Either they will allow, in a responsible way, investigators in to do the real work of figuring out where this came from, or they will face isolation in the international community.
Well, I'm sure China is very concerned about possible isolation in the international community. Now, those are the words of the National Security Advisor for President Biden, Jake Sullivan. And he's insisting that, oh, yeah, we will make sure that China understands that you cannot simply do us the way you've been doing us. You've got to let us know about COVID, and not just us, but the whole world. You've got to get in there and give us real information. Do you think, I'm asking, do you think China really gives a rip about being isolated from the rest of the nation? Do you not imagine that perhaps China could care less? You certainly can't believe that China truly would change everything simply because that it just shouldn't go that way. I mean, we're sorry. We want to make good. We'll play friendly going forward. That's the opinion that we're getting from the White House. If you recall when Biden initiated and said, "I want the intel community for the next 90 days to give us a full investigation of what took place, a full investigation of what happened with COVID, how it happened, how much China is to blame for it. That's what I want. And immediately the question was, well, once you get that information, which most of us don't have to be an intel agent to understand, it came from Wuhan, China. The question was, well, then what are you going to do? And we were told, oh, we'll wait. We will wait until we see the evidence before we comment. In other words, we don't have a plan. It just sounds good and makes us look good if we want to rush out and do this right now. And what are we going to get out of it? We're going to get more whitewashing from China. Because Senator Tom Cotton, despite you, the words you just heard from Jake Sullivan, Biden's national security administrator, that what Joe Biden did was something even Trump couldn't. He made it clear to China, if you don't do what we want, we will isolate you. Which is very interesting, by the way. Let's stop for just a second. Jake Sullivan is praising Joe Biden for the way he's handled China. Is he maybe also including the way Hunter Biden has been able to work some business deals with China? You have to know that's in the background. It's history they want to ignore and move forward and just don't repeat anymore. You also recall at one time Biden didn't consider China's not really a big threat. But just the same, he wants his intel community to spend this 90 days, and they're in the process of it now, probably, what are we, about maybe 20 days into it since he gave his order? But when we get the answer we want, then we'll make it clear to China, you must be forthcoming and fully transparent or we will isolate you from the international community. Now, by isolate, I assume that also means that any country trading with China and getting any goods from China, which would include the U.S., would suddenly say, okay, we won't get those goods from there anymore. We won't give you any money. You really think that's going to play? But more importantly, will China even consider this vague threat and this threat of isolation to be more than just, as we've said previously, a wet noodle? Not likely. The words of Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas.
China is not going to cooperate. They're not going to open those labs and let American scientists and researchers go in. And second, there's more than enough evidence to hold China accountable now. As you said, from the very beginning, I noted that this virus very well could have originated in those labs. I mean, it didn't come from a remote mountain village next to a cave full of bats. It came from a city larger than New York, just a few blocks down the street from the lab where they research these viruses, a lab that's run by a woman literally nicknamed the Bat Lady. It's well past time the Biden administration began imposing consequences on China, like pulling their most favored nation trading status, or pulling all the visas that Chinese Communist Party officials and their kids get to come to this country every year. We can do a lot to hold China accountable, and we're not doing nearly enough.
And I would not expect it from the Biden administration, would you? And in the meantime, as if you want to do, as they say, add salt to the wound, the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which again is communist run, it is the nation's largest scientific research institute, and as I said, a regime-controlled entity, has now nominated two researchers at the Wuhan Institute for an award celebrating, stand back, you do not know how big this is going to get. They want their scientists awarded outstanding science and technology achievement. That's right. And they're naming two of the scientists who have been studying contagious coronavirus strains shortly before the outbreak of the Chinese coronavirus. And, of course, one of them is the so-called Bat Woman, known for extensive work on coronavirus strains originating from the bat. So they say she really deserves a Medal of Honor from the world community of scientists. So the Wuhan Institute Lab is one of several institutions on a list of nominees for a CAS. A CAS is an award given for outstanding science and technology achievement. Well, if you're counting The number killed, yeah, I think they probably would, I think they might get it on that basis. Don't forget, when they first were claiming it all came out of the Wuhan seafood market, wet markets, and then even by mid-20, the communists changed their mind again. The Chinese foreign ministry began to insist, without evidence, this virus actually originated in the U.S. Say it came out of an army lab in Maryland. And, of course, you got Dr. Fake in the middle of all this. Dr. Fake, of course, has been chastised continually lately, and I'm glad he should, for constantly shifting and changing his views. He is very insistent, continues to insist that if you attack me, you're really attacking science.
The people who are giving the ad hominems are saying, ah, Fauci misled us. First he said no mask, then he said mask. Well, let me give you a flash. That's the way science works. You work with the data you have at the time.
You know, on one hand, I'd accept that. But the problem is when anyone would raise an opposing or just a possible consideration of another aspect. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm the scientist. I know. Well, I would think a scientist should be open to every piece of new information that would come in, right? Which he obviously is if it fits the parameters of what he's doing. I mean, again, Dr. Fake, he has become very adept at protecting not the American public, but protecting himself.
Tony Fauci is not acting as a scientist or a doctor anymore. He's acting as a Democratic Party activist in a white lab coat. Why doesn't he tell us what science, what data backs up the Biden administration's stupid mask mandate for airports and airplanes? I mean, are you more likely to get the coronavirus in an airport than you are a shopping mall or an airplane with its massive filtration systems? Is it really necessary to kick off a family with an autistic child who can't wear a mask peacefully for an entire airplane? Does Dr. Fauci have evidence to support that from the data and the science?
No, probably not, because he's never presented it. Again, the questions from Senator Tom Cotton. Where's the data for that? And yes, Fauci in the beginning, but here's the other thing. He's already been caught in several lies. He flat out admitted. When it first happened, he said, nothing to worry about. Well, he knew what was going on at the Wuhan Institute because as a head of the National Institute for Health and Infectious Diseases and so forth, he had already, and allergies, he knew because they'd given, as he said, a modest amount of money to that lab. He insists it wasn't for gain of function, which means, in cold, weaponizing a virus. But yet he was, and knowing that itself, and that the Wuhan Institute dealt with extremely deadly toxins and viruses, he still said, nothing to worry about, won't be much more than the flu. And then also in the early stages said, a mask won't do any good, don't bother with it. When later he admitted, well, we were trying to keep, not have a run on the mask because we need them for first responders. Just be truthful with the public. But that wasn't going to play out. Oh, by the way, speaking of masks, before I get off that point, if he wants to pay attention to data, a University of Florida recent sample of face mask, looking at, because parents were concerned about their children wearing face masks through the school day in 90-degree weather, they sent six masks, five worn by children, 6 to 11, for 5 to 8 hours at school, one worn by an adult, to the University of Florida Research Center. Of the six coverings, three were surgical, two cotton, one a polyester type thing. Five of the masks found to be contaminated with parasites, fungi, and bacteria. One a virus that would cause a fatal systemic disease in cattle and deer. Other less harmful pathogens, ulcers, acne, strep throat, also on those face coverings. So we're doing a great job of protecting everyone. Right, Dr. Fauci, as you continue to defend yourself.
It is essential as a scientist, that you evolve your opinion and your recommendations based on the data as it evolves. That is the nature of science. It is a self-correcting process. And that's the reason why I say people who then criticize me about that are actually criticizing science. It was not a change because I felt like flip-flopping. It was a change because the evidence changed. The data changed.
Well, what about the data I just gave you from the University of Florida? Finding those dangerous pathogens on these masks worn by kids. Would that change anything? No, because in the words of Senator Tom Cotton, we're not really talking about science. We're talking about politics.
I mean, we shouldn't allow Tony Fauci and Facebook to determine what we can and cannot say about this virus, because from the beginning, he's been giving politicized advice. He's admitted that he's changed his advice based on or what would be herd immunity levels, not based on what he thinks he sees in the data, but what he thinks the American right. people are ready to hear.
Senator,
why doesn't he just tell us what the facts are?
No, he's not going to tell you the facts. And here's a story. I don't know if this is factual or not. This came out of Daily Beast the other day. It's still circulating on Twitter and various media. A Chinese scientist apparently left the country with his daughter, came to the U.S., and he was aware of what was happening at Wuhan Lab. Are we talking to him? Are we getting information? Coming up, Democrats fighting against bishops of the United States and the Vatican. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like it. Sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have a president right now who on Sunday, and I laud him for this, I congratulate him for this, he goes very publicly to church wherever he is, much more than many of us, right? And he comes out and he says, I believe. And when he receives communion, he's saying, amen. He says, I believe with the Catholic Church. But then on Monday morning, when he goes to the halls of Congress or when he writes executive orders from his own desk, he says, I don't believe what the church teaches about a very fundamental, I would say the most fundamental teaching of the church, and that is respect for life at all stages.
Those are the words of a former priest, Jonathan Morris, now on Fox News as an analyst on religion from time to time. And he's talking about the issue about the Vatican's stance on abortion. Been always very clear. There's been never any wavering on abortion. And Joe Biden, good Democrat and also a Catholic, when he was a senator, voted for the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits any federal dollars for being used for an abortion. Now, Planned Parenthood gets around that because they don't actually take federal dollars for the actual abortion, because that would be illegal. They take it for utilities, staffing, supplies, things of that nature. But then again, to get into the White House, to actually win the Oval Office ring, the current president decided he was against the Hyde Amendment. Where he was before it, he was against it. But now, am I against it or not? He's not sure. Okay, this time, I'm against it. I didn't even think it was a good idea. But he did when he was a senator. Because that's what his Catholic faith says. Now, again, I'm not going to judge anyone on their faith or what they do on a day outside church or even on the day of church. I know I'm a sinner, and I know we all basically are sinners. I will. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're better than me, but there's only one man that's ever walked this earth that's been sinless, and that would be Jesus. But in this case, we got 60 House Democrats, 60 members of Congress, all Catholic Democrats themselves. They say the Catholic bishops of the U.S., and that would also include the Vatican, are weaponizing Holy Communion, because the word is that anyone supporting abortion should not be given communion. Now, this new communion document, as the bishops have been meeting, is not yet finalized. At least two-thirds have voted to adopt the language at their next gathering, slated for November. And they say it's not targeting one individual. Well, of course, the Democrats say otherwise. No, you're going after Joe Biden, and you're going after Nancy Pelosi and others, and us, because we support abortion. Now, let's look at one other quick side of this. You heard Morris say the church is against any thing that would take life at all stages, the death penalty. That's what many Democrats are now rushing forward, saying, well, many Republicans are also Catholic are in favor of the death penalty. And yes, the Vatican had announced back in 2018 the official Catholic Church ruling on the death penalty, calling capital punishment an attack on the dignity of the person, and it is also inadmissible. So they're saying, what about those who support the death penalty? Well, according to Catholic religion, both would be wrong. For those of us looking at law and order, there's a big difference between killing an unborn and killing someone who's committed a heinous crime. Stand by for more crime stories.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
For some stores, this is a daily event. Shoplifters walking in and walking out with whatever they want, even with security guards there, even with witnesses filming it all on their cell phones. It doesn't matter because in most cases, nothing happens. The owner of this corner market tells me he has been broken into 14 times over the past year, despite 23 cameras that he says catch criminals in the act all the time. Jalal Hadari blames a soft-on-crime district attorney and a state law that lowered the penalty for nonviolent thefts under $950. He says there's simply no deterrent.
What they are doing, they are just promoting this one, promoting people they do more. Because $950 or the $1,000 or the $2,000 doesn't matter. They get away with it.
Yeah, they are getting away with it. Again, that is a report from a Fox News reporter in San Francisco on how in that state, that city, you steal less than $1,000. If you steal less than $1,000, you don't need to worry because they're not going to do anything about it. This shoplifting trend is happening not only in San Fran, but other parts of California and also other states. And it's having consequences. I told you the other day it would. I did not have the details in front of me then, but let me give you some. That particular most recent event that showed a shoplifter on a bicycle just kind of going through with a bag, throwing everything he wanted into a bag and then riding out, and one TV anchor in San Francisco said, well, I guess he's getting his stuff he needed, you know, like toothbrushes, things like that. Well, he needed 30 of them or 60, whatever else. Don't you imagine he's also going to be selling them in black market or who knows? But he was just trying to find a way to justify. Well, maybe the guy needed it. So here's what's happened. I mentioned that Walgreens has to consider looking at what we pay for insurance and how much we're losing for such crimes. Walgreens has now closed 17 stores in San Fran over the past 5 years. That's according to the San Francisco Chronicle, 17. CVS closing at least two. And San Francisco is being described as the epicenter of organized retail crime. One CBS official told the New York Post about 85% of the company's money losses in San Francisco are a result of what they call professional crime. In other words, it's not just somebody shoplifting. They're coming in. They know what they're doing. They come in with a group of folks, and as long as they don't get more than $1,000 each, then they'll probably be allowed to go out. Organized retail crime, well, that's shoplifting committed by a shoplifting ring, multiple people. Stealing sometimes multiple locations or multiple goods at one location. The National Retail Federation last December said, you want to rank the cities affected by organized retail crime? That would be L.A. number one, Chicago number two, followed by Miami, New York, and then San Francisco. So all the events we've been seeing in San Francisco, they're not even that highly ranked so far. Well, organized crime also affecting retailers in Georgia, according to the Georgia Attorney General. He said organized retail crime affects 97% of retailers in Georgia. Now, we're not talking about a kid, a teenager on a lark, a dare taking something and hiding it under the jacket and getting out or something. We're talking about coming in an organized fashion to hit one store by several people or in and out other places. In Georgia, they will prosecute if they catch them. But in San Fran, the district attorney, Proposition 47, made any nonviolent theft of items collectively worth $950 a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor. So you could steal up to $950 if you don't hurt anybody, no big deal. Shoplifting problems, of course, are increasing the more this happens. And bail reform laws, as you relax those, well, that's why you've got in New York, they're doing the same thing. One New Yorker talking to a news reporter said, I was at a drugstore and somebody just started throwing everything into his backpack, just going from shelf to shelf. Asked the store employee, what about this? And the response of the employee, as we have been informed, we are not allowed to stop them. Now, when word like that gets out, and it's already in that criminal community, don't think I'm telling anybody something new that they didn't know if they're already part of that. They know it. They know what the law is. They know what they can get away with. And much of what they take ends up on the black market, getting them money for maybe their prime vocation. Doing drugs. But it's always got to blame someone else. You got to blame someone else, such as Atlanta Mayor Bottoms. She says the reason we're having a crime wave in our city is because our governor was one of the first states to begin reopening from COVID. What? What? No, there's no sense to that. Yes, the governor began easing COVID-19 restrictions in late March, following states like Texas and Mississippi that obviously upset Democrats. Killings are up 58% in Atlanta from 2020, 58%. That's according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The Democrat mayor says, we're doing everything we can. We're doing that. But our problem is, the systemic gun violence epidemic, yep, it's going to have to be that. And also, the governor let folks take off their mask early and start going around. The governor Kemp's response to the mayor's statement? Well, according to the mayor, rising crime in our capital city is everybody's fault but hers. We got shootings going up everywhere. New York City up 166% from April 20 to 21. And, of course, Mayor Bill de Blasio says, you know, I'm not the problem. It's everywhere else. And it's always, of course, blame the cops. So that explains partly why the Maine Police Union in Portland, Oregon, said they've got members of the Rapid Response Team resigning. 50 members of them saying, we're done. They'll continue to be law enforcement officers, but they refused to be part of the Rapid Response Team. In the past, they wanted to be part of it because they wanted to be involved in protecting in a crisis situation. But these officers now, according to their spokesman, is we don't want to put ourselves in harm's way to restore order and peace in destruction and mayhem when it starts, because we're always being criticized by the politicians. Local politicians celebrating destruction of our city as if looting, arson, property damage, physical violence, even murder were permissible and lawful First Amendment activities. You see, since May of last year, Portland's been having riots and demonstrations on a near nightly basis. Portland Police Bureau said the riot squad members left their voluntary positions, but they do regular assignments. Said they're just not going to do it because they're being hit with Molotov cocktails, fireworks, explosives, rocks, bottles, urine, feces, other dangerous objects. They didn't volunteer to have threats of rape, murder, and assault against their families. They did not volunteer to suffer serious injuries. You know, and every one of these officers has been in the street on a pretty continuous basis since May of last year. And what happened on January 6th, the Democrats say, oh, here's a perfect example of anarchy and chaos and insurrection. So all those Capitol Hill police that protected us, they're going to get a congressional medal. That's their plan. I told you the other day, I don't have a problem if they want to do that. But where is the support for all the officers across the nation who've had to battle these anarchist mobs? I don't care by what name they go. That's exactly what they are. They're a mob. Violent, anarchist, and they are really trying to overthrow the government, attacking federal facilities, torching them. And then, of course, you get the others rushing in to take advantage of the looting and take care of that as well. And in the midst of all of it, you will not believe, I cannot make this stuff up, what I'm going to tell you. Yesterday, in the New York Times, Portland bought a full-page ad in the New York Times yesterday, right after word got out the Portland Police Riot Squad had basically quit. The full-page ad reads, some of what you've heard about Portland is true, some is not. What matters most is that we're true to ourselves. You've heard a lot about us lately. It's been a while since you've heard from us. After a year of encouraging visitors and locals to support local businesses here, and from a distance, it's time to issue an invitation to come back to Portland. The ad continues. Two sides to the same coin that keeps landing right on its edge. Anything can happen. We like it this way. We welcome new ideas and a place where you can be yourself. You can speak up here. You can be yourself. In other words, come to Portland. Tourists, come to Portland. Yeah, you can speak up. Your ideas, creative, cutting edge, whatever. They spent something like $250,000 for that ad to promote tourism in Portland. I want to know who the hell signed that off and said that's a good idea. And then I'm going to tell you about what happens if you chase a shoplifter. What could happen? Stand by.
Jolene. just because you can.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When Dolly Parton is talking about Jolene, but that brings to mind Angelina Jolie and what she did over the weekend. She flew into a remote camp in Burkina Faso to address the refugees who fled Islamic jihadist violence. They fled Islamic jihadist violence. They're still in a very hot zone because they're still in that region. But she went to this troubled West African nation to mark World Refugee Day. She serves as the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Special Envoy. So the 46-year-old Angelina went there to preach and act like she is more concerned than anyone else is. Now, I don't want to take away what she has done to help in some areas, because for that she should be commended. But she could not help. She could not help but make the point here that these same refugees that fled Islamic jihadist violence, 1.2 million, fled mainly because we are facing the real possibility, climate change, and it will force tens, if not hundreds of millions, to leave their homes in the future with no possibility of return. She's saying they're beating this place simply by climate change. That's what she's trying to suggest. Now, climate change, you might tie that to the jihadists in the sense that, well, we want to have the better land if it's going to be that bad, so we'll take you can make any kind of line you want through that and tie all the dots together and see if it really presents a picture or just a confusing jumble. But here's one thing that does upset me about Angelina Jolie. She flew in to that area in Africa, West African nation, and talked and got pictures of visiting and so forth, and left, got back on the plane and left again. And she said, and here's her quote, there is nowhere I would rather be today than here with refugees, the people I admire the most. Thousands of men, women, and children are all in this crowded camp. Now, if that's really true, there's nowhere I'd rather be than with the refugees, the people I admire. Why did she get back on the jet and leave? Why didn't she just say, I'm staying here, wipe out my career, everything else, I don't need it, I'm going to become a refugee, I'm just going to stay here with them, I'm going to live like them, kick off my shoes, give me just the tattered clothing of someone else that's been worn 4 or 5 days or weeks or more, and I'll stay here. I will show that I'm really with it. She didn't do that, and you wouldn't expect her to, because the elite are better at teaching and preaching than actually doing. It's the same thing we were talking about earlier on the crime wave that's been hitting various cities because we got prosecutors that are just kind of willing to let it all happen. But if you rob their home, you watch what happens. If you burglarize their home, or you go in and pull a gun on somebody in their house, do you not imagine they're going to come after you even if no one got harmed and hurt? And I told you, if you're trying to do something to prevent it, you could get in trouble. Many waiters and waitresses know that if somebody runs out on a bill, they may end up having to pay for it out of their check, and they're not making that much to begin with. So any kind of money that somebody runs out on, it's going to hurt them. So we have this story out of New Jersey. A waitress, a 20-year-old working at a diner. A group of guys, 5, 4, 5, something like that, they suddenly decided to just skip out on the check. They ate and then ran. Well, she went to chase them. Not a good idea, but that's what she did. Chasing them out about 11:15 in the evening. Oh, they let her catch them. Then they grabbed her, threw her into a vehicle, and drove off with her and assaulted her. They're not giving details of how much assault. It does not appear to be rape, but they certainly roughed her up, then threw her out of the vehicle. Not a good idea to go running after them. Now, I don't know anything about these five that decided to run out on the check. But actually, if they were illegal aliens the way we're going now in this country, they're entitled to have a free meal by that restaurant. And just let the waiter or waitress pay for the meal. Why not? Because that's what's happening, by the way, with all these stores. It's certainly we have inflation creeping in. We're going to have prices going up anyway with everything going on and all the restrictions and stoppage of energy fuel opportunities under the Biden administration. But in addition to that, you do pay for that crime. You do know that, right? All right, coming on the next hour. Critical race theory being pushed across the nation still. And is it really a grassroots opposition, or is it organized? Is it folks being paid to fight against it? And then, is the U.S. flag too white? Does it need to be changed? We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. This is the program you want to hear. If you missed the first of all this hour, it'll be up on a podcast shortly. The other one coming up later. Stand by for the next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.